Ornavit, qui etiam his recentibus nostris vestrisque domesticis periculis, aeternum se testimonium laudis daturum esse profitetur, estque ex eo numero, qui semper apud omnes sancti sunt habiti itaque dicti, sic in vestra macipiatis fidem, ut humanitate vestra levatus, potius quam acerbitate violatus esse videatur. Quae de causa pro mea consuetudine breviter simpliciterque dixi iudices, ea confido probata esse omnibus. Quea forensi aliena iudicialique consuetudine, et de hominis ingenio, et communiter, de ipso studio, locutus sum, ea iudices, a vobis spero esse in bonam partem accepta. Ab eo, qui iudicium exercet, certo scio.
ごめんなさい。今日は電話に出たくないの。元気になったら連絡します。
Publius Virgilius Maro, 70 to 19 BC, was one of the most famous of Roman poets. His Aeneid, greatest of Latin epic poems, compares with Homer's Iliad and Odyssey, from which Virgil drew inspiration. Among his minor works are the Bucolics, or Pastoral Idylls, the Georgics, a poetical treatise on farming, and the Eclogues, dealing mostly with rural life. The Aeneid was undertaken at the urging of the Emperor Augustus, whose aim it was to stir national sentiment and kindle pride in the past achievements of the Roman race by referring to its mythological origin. It recounts the escape from burning Troy of Aeneas and the band of his Trojan followers, their long vicissitudes before coming to the shores of Lycium, their struggles to make themselves masters of the location of Alba Longa, near the mouth of the Tiber. Our initial passage presents Virgil's opening lines, his invocation to the muse, and his summary of the subject matter of his poem. Next, we have a passage from Book II in which Aeneas himself, at Queen Dido's Carthaginian court, gives a graphic account of the fall of his native city by reason of the trickery of guileful Ulysses. From Book VI comes the Cumaean Sibyl's description of what lies ahead of Aeneas in his projected descent into Hades to visit the ghost of his father Anchises. This descent into the nether regions, incidentally, inspired Dante, some 13 centuries later, to write an account of his own descent into the Inferno, with no less a guide than Virgil himself, who had previous experience. Lastly comes a brief passage spoken by the ghost of Anchises, outlining to his son the future destiny of the Roman people who will be his descendants, their worldwide mission to rule and impose peace, to help subject populations and overcome the pride of oppressors.
Arma virumque cano, Troiae qui primus aboris, Italiam fato profugus, Lavinaque venit litora, multil et terris iactatus et alto, vi superum seve memorem iunonis ob iram. Multa quoquet bello passus, dum conderet urbem, inferreque Deus Latio, genus unde Latinum, albanique patres, at qualte menia Romi. Musa, mihi causas memora, quo numine leso, quid vedolens, regina Deum, tot volvere casus insigniem pietate virum, tot adire labores impulerit. Tantini animis celestibus iri, urbs antiqua fuit, Tiri tenuere coloni, Cartago, Italiam contra T. Tiberina quelonge ostia. Dives opum studisque asperrima belli. Quam iuno fertur terris magis omnibus unam post habita coluisse samu. Hic illius arma, hic curus fuit. Hoc regnum dea gentibus esse, si qua fata sinant, iam tum tenditve fovetque. Progeniem sedenim Troiana sanguine duci audierat, Tyrias olim que verteret arces. Hing populum late regem belloque superbum venturum excidio Libie, sic volvere parcas. Id metuens, veterisque memor Saturnia belli, prima quod a Troiam procaris gesserat argis, nec detiam causae irarum sevique dolores exciderant animo, manet altam intere postum judicium paridis, spreteque ignuria forme et genus in vis et rapti ganimidis honores, his accensa super, iactatos equere toto, Troas, reliquias danat qui mitis Achilli, arcebat longe Latio, multosque per annos errabant, acti fatis mari omnia circum, tanti molis erat Romanam condere gentem. Conticuere omnes intentique ora tenibant, inde toro pater Aeneas si corsus ab alto. Infandum regina iubes renovare dolorem, Troianas ut opes, et lamentabile regnum eruer in Danae, quae quipse miserrima vidi, et quorum pars magna fui. Quis talia fando mirmidonum dolopumve aut duri mille sulixi temperet a lacrimis. Et iam nox umida celo precipitat, sua denque cadentia sidera somnos. Sed, si tantos amor casus cognoscere nostros, et breviter Troie suprema audire laborem, quam quanimus meminis sorret, luctuque defugit, incipiam. Fracti bello fatisque repulsi, ductores Danaum totiam labentibus annis, instar montis, equum divina palladis arte edificant, sectaque intec sunt abiete costas, votum pro reditu simulant, ea fama vagatur. Huc delecta virum sortiti corpora furtim includunt, ceco lateri, penitusque cavernas ingentis, uterumque armato milite complent. Est in conspectu tenedos, notissima fama insula, dives opum priam idum regnam anibant. Nunc tantum sinus et statio malefida carinis. Huc se provecti desert in lito recondunt. Nos abiserati, et vento petisse micenas. Erg omnis longo solvitse teucria luctu, panduntur porte, iuvat ire et dorica castra desertosque videre locos, litusque relictum. Hic dolopum manus, hic sevus tendebat Achilles, classibus hic locus, hic ace certare solebant. Pars stupet in nupte donic siciale Minerve, et molem mirantur equi. Primusque timoetes duci intra muros hortatur, et arce locari, sive dolo, seu iam Troie sic fata feribant. Ad capis, et quorum melior sententia minti, aut pelago danaum insidias suspecta quedona precipitare iubent, subiectis curere flammis, aut terebrare cavas uteri et temptare latebras. Scinditur incertum studia in contraria volgus. Primus ibi Antomnis, magna comitante Caterva, Laocoon, Ardens, summa decurrita Barce et Procul, o miseri, quae tanta insania cives, creditis avectos hostis, aut ulla putatis dona carere dolis Danaum, sic notus ulixes, aut hoc inclusi ligno cultantur acivi, aut hec in nostros fabricatais machina muros, inspectura domos, ventura quae de super urbi, aut aliquis late terror. Equo ne credite teucri, qui quidid est, timeo Danaos et dona ferentis. Sic fatus, validis ingentem viribus hastam in latus inque feri curvam compagibus album contorsit. Stetit illa tremens, uteroque recusso in sonuere cave gemitumque dedere caverni. Et si fata Deum, si mens non leva fuisset, impulerat ferro argolicas fedare latebras. Troiaque nunc staret, priamique arc salta maneris. Ecce manus juven interia postergare vintum, pastores magno ad regem clamore traebant Dardanide, qui se ignotum venientibus ultro, hoc ipsut strueret troiamque aperire tacibis, obtulerat fidens animi atque nutrum que paratus, seu versare dolos, seu certe occumbere morti. Undique vicendi studio troiana juventus circumfusa ruit, certanque il dudere capto. Accipe nunc, Danaum insidias, et crimina buno, disce omnis. Namcut conspectu in medio turbatus inermis constitit, ad quoculis frigi agmina circumspexit, eo, quae nunc tellus inquit, quae me equora possunt accipere, aut quidiam misero mihi denique restat, qui nequa put Danaos usquam locus, et super ipsi Dardanide infensi pinas cum sanguine poscunt. Quod gemitu conversi animi compressus et omnis impetus. Hortamur fari, quos sanguine critus, quid veferat, memoret, quae sit fiducia captu. Il hec deposita tandem formidine fatur. Cum tequidem tibi rex, fuerit quod cumque fatebor, vera inquit. Neque me argolica de gente negabo, hoc primum. Nec, si miserum fortuna sinonem finxit, van etiam mendacem quimproba finget. Fand aliquod si forte tuas pervenita d'auris, belide nomen Palamedis, et incluta fama gloria, quem falsa supprodizione pedasgi in sont infand indizio, qui a bella vitabat de miserie neci, nun cassum lumine lugent, illi me comitet consanguinitate propinquum, pauper in arma, pater, primis huc misi tabannis. Dum stabat regni incolumis, regumque vigibat conciliis, et nos aliquod, nomenque decusque gessimus. Invidia posquam pellacis ulixi, haud ignota loquor, superis concessi taboris, afflictus vit in tenebris luctuque traebam, et casin sontis mecum indignabar amici. Nec tacui demens, et me forsi quat ulisset, si patrios umquam remeassem victor ad Argos, promisi ultorem, et verbis odi aspera movi. Hinc mihi prima mali labis, Hinc semper ulixes criminibus terrere nobis, hinc spargere voces in volgo ambiguas, et querere concius arma. Nec requievit enim, done calcante ministro, sed qui digo hic autem, ne quiquam ingrata revolvo. Quid demoror, si omnis un ordine abitis acivos, il qua udire sate est? Iam dudum sumite pinas, hoc itacus velit, et magno mercentur atridi. Talibus orabat, dictis, arasque tenibat, cum sic orsa loquivatis. Sati sanguine divum, tros anchisiade, facilis descensus averno, noctes atque dies patet atre ianu aditis, sed revocare gradum, superasque vader ad auras, o copus, hic labor est. Pauci, quos equus amavit Jupiter, aut ardens evexis ad etera virtus, dis geniti potuere. Tenent media omnia silve, cocitosque sinu labens circumvenit atro. Quod citantus amor menti, sitanta cupido, bis stigio sinnare lacus, bis nigra videre Tartara, et insano iuvat indulgere labori, accipe, que per agenda prius. Latet arbor opaca, aureus, et folis, et lento vimine ramus, iunun inferne dictus sacer. Hum tegit omnis lucus, et obscuris claudum convallibus umbre. Sed non ante datur telluris operta subire, auricomus quam qui decerpserit arbore fetus. Hoc sibi pulcra sum ferri proserpina munus instituit. Prima volso non deficit alter aureus, et simili frondescit virga metallo. Ergo alte vestiga oculis, et litere pertum carpe manu. Nam quipse volens facilisque sequetur, si te fata vocant, aliter non viribus ullis vincere, nec duro poteris convellere ferro. Preteria iacet ex animum tibi corpus amici, eo nescis. Totamque incestat funere classem, dum consulta petis, nostroque in limine pendis. Sedibus hunc refer, ante suis, et conde sepulcro. Duc nigras pecudis, ea prima piacula sunto. Sic demum lucos tigis, et regna invia vivis aspicies. Dixit, pressoquo mutuit ore. Quis proculi lautem ramis in signis olivi sacra ferens? Nosco crinis in canaque menta regis Romani, primam qui legibus urbem fundabit curibus parvis et paupere terra, missus in imperium magnum, cui deinde subibit, otia qui rumpet patriae residesque movebit, Tullus, in arma viros, et iam de sueta triumphis agmina. Quem iuxta sequitur iactantior ancus, nun quoque iam nimium gaudens, popularibus auris, visset Tarquinius reges, animamque superba multoris bruti fascesque videre receptos, consulis imperium hic primus se vasque secures accipiet, natosque pater nova bella moventis, ad pinam pulcra pro libertate vocabit in Felix. Ut cumque ferent ea facta minoris, vincet amor patriae, laudumque immensa Cupido. Quin decius drusosque procul sebumque securi aspice Torquatum et referentem signa Camillum. Ille autem paribus quas fulgere cernis in armis concordes anime nunc, et dum nocte premuntur heu quant inter sebellum s'illumina vite attigerint, quantas acies tragemque cibunt, ageribus socer alpinis ad quarce monoici descendens genera adversis instructus eois. Ne pueri, ne tant animis assuescite bella, neu patrie validas in viscere vertite viris. Tuque prior, tu parce, genus qui ducis Olimpo, proiceti la manu, sanguis meus. Ille triumfata Capitolia ad alta Corinto victoraget, currum cesis insignis Achivis. Eruet ille Argos, Agamemnoniasque Micenas, ipsumque aciden, genus armipotentis Achilli, ultus avos Troie, templa et temerata Minerve. Quis te, magnicato, tacitum a te, cosse relinquat. Quis gracchi genus, aut geminus, duo fulmina belli, Scipiadas, cladem Libie, parvoque potentem Fabricium, veltis ulco serrani serentem, quo fessum rapitis Fabii, tu maximus illes, unus qui nobis cuntando restituis rem. Excudentali spirantia mollius aera, credequidem, vivos lucente marmore voltus, orabunt causas melius, celique meatus describent radio, et surgentia sidera dicent. Tu, reger imperio populus Romani, memento, et tibi erunt artes, pacisque imponere morem, parcere subiectis, et debellare superbos.
Hai, Ginrei des. Gomennasai, ima rusu ni shite imasu. B という発信音の後にメッセージをお入れください。ファックスの方はそのままファックスを送信してください。
Quintus Horatius Flaccus, 65 to 8 BC, is considered the greatest of Roman lyric poets. He brings to his verse the skillful adaptation of complicated Greek metrical forms. In addition to his odes and epodes, we have his satires, epistles, and Carmen Seculari. We have selected some of his best-known odes. The first is a hymn to the joys of the passing moment, composed in his country villa, with a glimpse of snow-covered Mount Soracte, frozen streams and snow-laden trees, a good cup of wine, and the soft laughter of girls in the far corner. The second is an admonition to a ship, thought to be symbolical of the Roman ship of state, to avoid the dangers that beset it and steer a direct course toward its manifest destiny. Next comes a statement to the effect that a man of pure life need fear nothing. Even if he chances upon wolves, as the poet did, they leave him unharmed. And why not? He was singing of his beloved Lalage, and will always sing of her, wherever he may be. The fourth selection is in more pessimistic vein. Addressed to his friend Postumus, it reminds him that the years roll on, and that we must all grow old and die. It is vain to flee from dangers, nor will anything serve to ward off death. The next selection is a proud claim to immortality based upon the poet's literary achievements. His monument is grander and more enduring than bronze of the pyramids, and will weather the storms of the ages, for it is built on the most solid of foundations. The final selection, dedicated to his patron Maecenas, tells of the varied tastes and preferences of men. As for the poet, he only wants to sing his verses. vides ut altas tit nivi candidum soracti, neciam sustineant tonus silve laborantis, geluque flumina constiterint acuto. Dissolve frigus ligna super foco largere ponens, atque benignius de prome quadrimum Sabina, o taliarche merum diota. Permitte divis cetera, qui simul stravere ventus, equore fervido de preliantis, nec cupressi, nec veteris agitantur orni. Quid sit futurum cras, fugge quereri, et quem fors dierum, cumque dabit, lucro adponi. Nec dulces amores sperne puer, neque tu coreas, donec virenti canities abest morosa. Nunc et campus etarei, lenesque sub noctem susurri, composita repetantur ora. Nunc et latentis proditor intimo, gratus puelle risus ab angulo, pignusque dereptum lacertis, aut digito male pertinaci. O navis, referent in mare te novi fluctus, o quid agis, fortiter occupa portum, non ne vides ut nudum remigio latus, et malus celeris auscius Africo, ante neque gemant, ac sine funibus vix durare carine possint imperiusius equor? Non tibi sunt integra lintea, non di quos iterum pressa voces malo. Quam vis ponti capinus, silve filia nobilis, iactes, et genus et nomen inutile. Nil pictis timidus navita pupibus fidit. Tu nisi ventis debes ludibrium cavi. Nu per sollicitum, que mihi tedium, nunc desiderium cura que non levis, interfus anitentes, vites equora cicladas. Integer vite scelerisque purus, non eget mauris iaculis, nec arcu, nec venenatis gravida sagittis, fusce faretra. Sive persirtes iter estuosas, sive facturus per inhospitalem Caucasum, vel quel loca fabulosus lambiti d'aspes. Namque me, silva lupus in Sabina, dum meam canto lalagen, et ultra terminum curis vago expeditis fugit inermem. Quale portentum neque militaris daunias latis alit esculetis, nec iubetellus generat leonum arida nutrix. Poneme pigris, ubi nulla campis arbor estiva recreatur aura, quod latus mundi nebule malusque Jupiter urguet. Pone sub curru nimium propinqui solis in terra domibus negata? Dulce ridentem lalagen amabo, dulce loquentem. Nunc es bibendum, nunc pede libero pulsanda tellus, nunc saliaribus ornare pulvinar deorum, tempus erat dapibus sodales. Ante hac nefas de promere cecubum cellis abitis, dum Capitolio regina dementis ruinas funus et imperio parabat, contaminato cum gregge turpium morbo virorum, quid libet impotens sperare fortuna que dulci ebria. Sed minuit furorem vix una sospes navis ab ignibus, mentemque l'infatam mareotico redegit in veros timores Caesar, ab Italia volantem remis ad urguens, ad Cipiter velut, molles columbas aut leporem citus, venator in campis nivalis hemonie dare tut catenis fatale monstrum. Quae generosius perire, querens nec muliebriter expavit ensem, nec latentes classe cita reparavit horas. Aus et jacentem visere regiam voltu sereno, fortis et asperas tractare serpentes, ut atrum corpore conbiberet venenum, deliberata morte ferocior. Sevis liburnis scilicet invidens, privata deduci superbo, non humilis mulier triumphu. Eheu fugaces postume labuntur anni, nec pietas moram rugis, et instanti senecte adferet indomiteque morti. Non si trecenis quod eunt dies amice places, in lacrimabilem Plutona Tauris, qui ter amplum gerionen titionque tristi, compescitunda, scilicet omnibus, quicumque terre munere vescimur, e naviganda, sive reges, sive in opes erimus coloni. Frustra cruento Marte Carebimus, fractisque rauci fluctibus Adrii, frustra per autumnos nocentem corporibus metuimus Austrum. Visendus ater, flumine languido, cocitos errans, et Danae genus infame damnatusque longi Sisyphus eolides laboris. Linquenda tellus, et domus, et placens uxor, neque harum quas colis arborum, te preter in visas cupressos, ulla brevem dominum sequetur. Absumet heres cecuba dignior servata centum clavibus, et mero tinguet pavimentum superbo, pontificum potiore cenis. Exegi monument here perennius, regalique situ pyramidum altius, quod non imberedax, non aquil impotens possit diruere aut innumerabilis annorum series et fuga temporum. Non omnis moriar, multaque pars mei vitabit libitinam, usque ego postera criscam lauderescens, dum Capitolium scandet, cum tacita virgine pontifex. Dicar qua violens obstrepit aufidus, et qua pauper aquae Danaus agrestium regnavit populorum, ex humili potens princeps aeolium carmen ad Italos deduxisse modus. Summe superbiam quesitam meritis, et mihi delfica lauro cinge volens melpomene comam. Mecenas atavis edite regibus, o et presidiet dulce decus meum, sunt quos curriculo pulver olympicum collegisse iubat, metaque fervidis evitata rotis, palmaque nobilis, terrarum dominus evehit ad Deus. Hung simobilium turbam quiritium certa tergeminis tollere con oribus. Illum si proprio condidit horreo quidquid delibicis veritur areis. Gaudentem patrios findere sarculo agros attalicis conditionibus, numquam demoveas, utrabe Cipria myrtum pavidus nauta secet mare. Luctanti caris fluctibus Africum mercator metuens, otium et oppidi laudat rura sui. Mox reficit rates quassas, indocilis pauperiem pati. Est qui nec veteris pocula massici, nec partem solido demere de die spernit, nunc viridi membra sub arbuto stratus, nunc ad aquae lene caput sacre. multos castra iubant, et lituo tube per mixtus sonitus bella quae matribus detestata. Manet sub Iove frigido venator, tenere coniugis in memor, seu visast catulis cerva fidelibus, seu rupit teretis marsus aper plagas. Mi, doctarum edere premia frontium dis mission superis, me gelidum nemus nympharumque leves cum satiris cori secernum populo. Si neque tibia seu terpe cohibet, nec polihymnia, lesbom refugit tendere barbiton. Quod si me lyricis vatibus inseres, sublimi feriam sidera vertice.
We have used for these recordings the so-called church pronunciation of Latin current in the Roman Catholic Church, and particularly in Vatican and Italian circles. This pronunciation is believed to be a fairly exact reproduction of the vulgar Latin pronunciation current in the spoken tongue of Italy, and possibly of other Romance countries, from the 4th to the 7th or 8th centuries of the Christian era, before the Romance vernaculars began to appear. It is therefore a legitimate pronunciation of the Latin tongue, though not the best by classical standards. The chief divergences between it and the classical language spoken in the cultured circles of the late Republican and early Imperial period, 1st century BC and 1st century AD, are the following. 1. The use of a stress accent instead of the musical pitch recommended by the Roman grammarians. 2. The consequent obliteration of classical vowel quantities, with the shortening of long vowels and unstressed syllables, and the lengthening of short vowels and stressed syllables. But the quality, open or close, of the classical vowels remained unchanged. 3. The reduction of the diphthong I, classically pronounced like the I of English fine, and of the diphthong oi, pronounced like the oi of oil, to open or closed e. 4. The palatalization of C and G, which were invariably velar sounds in the classical tongue, before the front vowel sounds e, I, and oi. This means that in these positions, a K sound became a CH sound, and a G sound, like that of the English go, became a J sound as an English jet. 5. The change of V, classically pronounced like English semivowel W, to the dentolabial fricative sound current in present-day Italian or English V. 6. The shift of TI before a vowel from the sound of T to that of Z, justitia to justitia. In most other respects, the classical and the church pronunciation are believed to coincide. There is even, in the church pronunciation, the restoration of final M and initial H, which the scansion of Latin verse and other evidence indicate were very lightly, if at all, pronounced in the most cultured classical speech. Our justification for using the late church pronunciation rather than the classical, the latter would be contemporaneous with our excerpts, is that the church pronunciation is still alive and in full spoken use, while the classical does not appear today save in an occasional classroom. It is of interest to note that as Latin ceased to be the spoken popular tongue and became more and more an artificial convention or a scholarly koine, each country imparted to the pronunciation of Latin its own individual flavor, derived from its own vernacular usage. What would have been cicero to the classical speaker became cicero to the Italian, cicero to the Frenchman, cicero to the Spaniard, cicero to the German, cicero to the English speaker. The Italian usage, however, represents an unbroken tradition, both geographically and ecclesiastically, and is the one that most probably approximates popular Latin usage about the time of the redaction of the Vulgate, around 400 AD.
この電話の主はただいま外出しています。 ご用の方は私銀霊留守番電話が受けたまわります。発信音の後にメッセージをどうぞ。
As a literary language, Latin has a history of nearly 2,500 years, and from the 3rd century BC until our own time, it is more homogeneous than is English from Chaucer to Tennyson, a span of only 500 years. Today, Latin is both a dead and a living language, though both terms need to be qualified. Classical scholars are mainly interested in the two or three centuries at either side of AD 1, and therefore try to pronounce Latin as they presume it was pronounced in the period of Caesar and Cicero. To the vowels, they give approximately the values they have in modern Romance language, and they make the same distinctions between long and short, that is, a, e, I, o, u, u. The differences are mainly in the consonants. The letters C and G, T and D, are pronounced hard even when they precede I. That is, C is always K, not CH, TS, or S. G is always G, not J or Y. Thus, in reading, a classical scholar will say Cicero, not Cicero as in English, Cicero as it is in Italian, or Cicero as in German. The main evidence that this was the pronunciation in antiquity, aside from established linguistic laws, is the contemporary spelling of Latin words, especially proper names in other languages, mainly, of course, Greek. Thus, the Greek writer Plutarch writes Cicero for Cicero, and the Greek K was always K. To pronounce classical Latin in this way is correct, just as it is correct to pronounce Chaucer according to his own rather than our usage, but it is, as it were, a museum approach. It is contrary to the genius of language for pronunciations to remain fixed, and in fact the pronunciation of classical Latin changed, just as the pronunciation of Chaucerian English changed, though to a lesser degree. In this sense, classical Latin is a dead language. Development is purposefully halted, and scholars cling to a standard which obtained almost 2 millennia ago. Thus, in the Renaissance, humanist scholars refused to use any word which was not found somewhere in the writings of Cicero. Such artificial restraint must make a language dead, for new things and new ideas emerge, which the language is then incapable of expressing. But in one sense, even classical Latin never died, for scholars continue to use the classical language for writing and lecturing, and to this day there are learned periodicals which print contributions in Latin. This is not merely a stunt, for classical Latin is a universal language, more generally understood by the whole community of interested scholars than, say, Swedish or Polish. It is true that even those who write or lecture in Latin use another language for the affairs of daily life, and that no considerable group of people employs classical Latin as a vernacular. But side by side with this essentially artificial development, there was a natural development of Latin, both with respect to its daughter languages and with respect to itself. The daughter languages, chiefly Italian, French, Spanish, and Romanian, followed natural laws of growth appropriate to vernaculars and became independent languages. During the formative years of these languages and afterwards, Latin continued to be used not only as the language of the church, but as the regular medium for all intellectual activity. Its role in creating a uniform European civilization, not fragmented by national boundaries, cannot be exaggerated. Here, too, until the classical norm was reintroduced by the humanists, there was a certain degree of change, though not so great, of course, as in the Romance languages. Certain grammatical rules were relaxed, and pronunciation came to be affected by regional peculiarities. But as a written language, Latin continued homogeneous. The heart of humanism was, of course, Italy, and it was Italian scholars trained in Italy who carried the new learning to the northern countries. Even the rigid Ciceronians of Italy pronounced Latin as if it were Italian, and their pronunciation or adaptations of it became the universal rule. The Latin liturgy of the church was also pronounced in the Italian manner, and as long as education was intimately associated with the church, there was no reason for a cleavage in pronunciation. After the Reformation, when the vernacular came to be used for worship, there appeared to be no reason for a special pronunciation to be cultivated in the schools. And because schoolmasters found it easier to teach it so, Latin came to be pronounced as if it were English. Hence, until the 20th century, schoolboys said amo, amas, amat, where they are now taught to say amo, amas, amat. When an English scholar visited the great Scaliger in Leiden in 1608 and addressed him for a quarter hour in Latin, Scaliger apologized in good faith for his lack of knowledge of English. It is of interest to note that the parallel substitution of a correct for a corrupted pronunciation was applied to Greek in the humanist period. The first teachers of Greek in the Renaissance were displaced scholars from Greece, which had been conquered by the Turks, and they naturally used their own vernacular pronunciation, which was like modern, not ancient, Greek. It was Erasmus who introduced the scholarly pronunciation, which is still called by his name. Erasmus himself spoke Latin, and to him, therefore, Greek was something like Latin is to us. With the introduction of the ancient pronunciation, the gap between secular and church Latin was reduced. The simple vowel sounds are identical. The chief differences are in diphthongs, where A-R-E, for example, is A instead of I, and in certain consonants when they are followed by I or E. A word must be said of versification, since so great a proportion of the literature is poetry. In pre-classical times, Latin poetry seems to have been, like our own, accentual. And there are fragments which can be read like sing a song of sixpence, pockets full of rye. Classical Latin poetry took over the quantitative meter of the Greeks. That is to say, the verse pattern was determined not by the accentual stress, or lack of it, put upon a syllable, but by the length of time required to pronounce it, precisely as music is measured by eighth notes and quarter notes. It is a question whether quantitative meter is natural for Latin, though the classical poets employed it with very great skill, and it seems probable that accentual verse persisted in a kind of subliterary existence all through the classical period. In any case, when Christian hymns came to be written in Latin, accentual versification reappeared and then became the rule. Even when Latin was a sole or alternative vernacular then, its usage was governed by external controls that do not ordinarily apply to other vernaculars. In all languages, there is some difference between the literary and the spoken language, and in the spoken language, between the usage of the world of fashion and ordinary humanity. In Latin, the differences have been sharper than in most languages. The artificial verse forms, like the essentially alien mythology which the Roman poets used, had to be learned, and consequently, the language of the relatively few who learnt it must have diverged from that of the many who did not. In the post-classical periods, there was always the conservative influence of an organized church and organized scholarship to prevent deviations which, when they were uncontrolled, developed into separate dialects. It is therefore as difficult as it is essentially futile to trace the stages of such changes as we know. A student of English phonology can identify changes in pronunciation from Beowulf to Chaucer, to Shakespeare, to Pope, to T.S. Eliot. We cannot define analogous stages in Latin. Essentially, all secular students of classical Latin use, with minor national variations, what scholars have determined is the classical pronunciation. For Church Latin regularly, and for medieval Latin generally, the church pronunciation is used. There was, of course, a point in time when C became S or CH instead of K. We cannot put our finger on it. In the readings which follow, therefore, there will be no attempt to indicate gradations. Either the so-called classical or the so-called church pronunciation will be used as seems appropriate to a given author. It is characteristic of Latin literature that we are able to name its first writer, Livius Andronicus, 284 to 204 BC, who translated the Odyssey into Latin. Of this we have fewer than a dozen lines in quotations, of which the first is Virum mihi camena insece versutum. The language of older pieces, such as the Laws of the Twelve Tables, was constantly revised so that they do not, in their present form, represent the earlier diction and pronunciation. The first author of whom we have a considerable body of work extant is the comic playwright Plautus, 254 to 184 BC. A good part of a Plautine play was meant to be sung rather than spoken, as can be seen from the following complaint of an unsuccessful clown. Dic unum ridiculum dictum de dictis melioribus, quiba soleba menstrualis epula santa depiscier, nemo ridit scio extemplo rem de compectogeri, ne canem quid in ritatam voluit quisquimitarier, saltem si non ad riderent dentis ut restringerent, ab abildis postquam video mesic ludificarier, pergad alios, veniad alios, deindad alios, una res. The earliest considerable prose writer is Cato the Elder, 234 to 149 BC. Here he praises agriculture as the best occupation. Maiores nostri sic habuerunt, et ita in legibus possiverunt, furem dupli condemnari feneratorem quadrupli. Quanto peorem civem existimare in feneratorem quam furem, hinc licet existimare. Et virum bonum quam laudabant, ita laudabant, bonum agricolam bonumque colonum. Amplissime laudari existimabatur, qui ita laudabatur. Mercatorem autem strenum studiosumque rei quarenda existimo, verum ut supra dixi, periculosum et calamitosum. At ex agricolis et viri fortissimi et milite strenuissimi gignuntur, maximeque pius quaestus stabilissimusque consequitur minimeque invidiosus, minimeque male cogitantes sunt, qui in eo studio occupati sunt. By universal consent, the greatest prose writer in Latin is Cicero, 106 to 43 BC. Cicero's essays are as eloquent as his speeches. Here is a characteristic piece from the Tusculan Disputations in which he argues that death is not an evil. Nos vero, si quitale acciderit, ut ad Deo denuntiatum videatur ut exeamus e vita, laeti et agentes gratias pariamus. Emitique nos e custodia, et levari vinclis arbitremur. Ut aut in aeternam, et planem nostram domum remigremus, aut omni sensu molestiaque cariamus. Sin autem nihil denuntiabitur, eo tamen simus animo, ut horribilem illum diem aliis, nobis faustum putemus. Nihilque in malis ducamus, quod sit vel adisim mortalibus, vel a natura parente omnium constitutum. Non enim temere nec fortuito sati et creati sumus, sed profecto fuit quaedam vis, quae generi consuleret humano. Nec id gigneret aut aleret, quod cum ex ancla viset omnis labores tum inciderit in mortis malum sempiternum, portum potius paratum nobis et perfugium putemus. Among the very greatest products of the Latin genius is Lucretius's long philosophical poem On the Nature of Things. It was Lucretius's treatment of the hexameter that prepared the way for Virgil. The following selection is from the beginning of Book 2 in praise of philosophy. Suave mari magno tubantibus aequora ventis, aeter a magnum alterius spectare laborem, non quia vexa requem quam jucunda voluptas, sed quibus ipse malis carias quia ceneris suavest. Suaver iam belli certamina magna tueri, per campos instructa tua sine parte pericli. Sed nil dulcius est, bene quam unita tenere edita doctrina sapientum templa serena, de speceronde queas alios passimque videre era ratque viam palantis quaerere vitae, certar ingenio contendere nobilitate noctes atque dies niti praestante labore, ad sumase megre opestre rumque potire, o miseras hominum mentes, o pectora caica, qualibus in tenebris vitae quantisque periclis, degitur hoc aevi quod cum quest. Among the Latin lyric poets, Catullus, 87 to 54 BC, ranks first for emotional intensity. Here is his dedicatory poem in his characteristic hendecasyllabic, or 11-syllable meter. Qui dono lepidum novum libellum, arida modo pumic expolitum, corne li tibi, namque tu solebas, meas es aliquid putare nugas, iam tum cum ausus es unus italorum omnae vum tribus explicare catis, doctis Jupiter et laboriosis. Quar ab tibi quidque hoc libellest, qualicumquem quod o patrona Virgo plus uno maniat perenne cyclo. Besides the Aeneid, Virgil wrote in the same meter didactic poems on agriculture called Georgics and pastoral poems called Eclogues. The fourth Eclogue foretells the birth of a child who shall be a savior. Here is a part of it. Ad gredero magnos aderit iam tempus honores, cara deum suboles magnum io vis incrementum, aspice convexo nutantem pondre mundum, terrasque tractusque mares caelumque profundum, aspice venturo laetanturut omnia cyclo, o mihi tum longae maniat pars ultima vitae, Spiritus et quantum saterit tua dicere facta. Incipe parve puer, risu cognoscere matrem, matri longa decem tulerunt fastidia menses, incipe parve puer, qui non risere parentes, nec deus hung mensa, dea nec dignata cubilest. The best known and most widely imitated Latin lyric poet is Horace, 65 to 8 BC. The first selection is Integer Vitae, familiar in Glee Club repertories, in the Sapphic meter. Integer Vitae scelerisque purus, non eget mauris jaculis nequacu, neque natis gravidas agitis, fusque faretra. Sive per certis iter aestuosas, sive facturus per inhospitalem, caucasum vel quae loca fabulosus lambet hidaspes. Pone me pigris ubi nulla campis, arbor aesti va recreato aura, quod latus mundi nebulae malosque Jupiter urguet. Ponne sub curru nimium propinqui solis in terra domibus negata, dulce redentem lalagen amabo, dulce loquentem. Next is a dialogue in which lovers who have quarreled make up. Donne gratus eram tibi, nequis quam potior brachia candidae, cervi quiu enis dabat, per sarum vigui, rege beatior. Donnec non alia magis, assisti nequarat Lydia postcloen, multi Lydia nominis Romana vigui clario illia. Quid si prescare dit venus, deductosque...